Chicago Cubs postgame show on the station that knows the Cubs the best.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Well, Cubs fans, I am honored to tell you on this station, WGN Radio, that it has happened. For the first time since 1945, your Chicago Cubs are going to the World Series.
It's still weird to hear you say that. Can I be honest with you?
I don't blame you, Andy.
As soon as the game ended, we were upstairs watching the very end of it, and I got to be honest with you, I couldn't speak. And the first two people I thought of were Ron Santo and Ernie Banks. And the third person I thought about was my father. And I picked up the phone and called him. And he didn't answer the phone right away. Can you believe that? So I got to talk to my dad.
And you weren't happy that he didn't pick
up the phone. No, I had a few choice words for him at that particular point, but got a chance to talk to him. And the first thing he said to me was, they need four more. What are you calling me for now? I'm like, okay, well,
you great attitude.
Yeah, I know. You were 3 years old the last time they went to the World Series. So I figured I'd say hello to you, you know?
Well, look, Cubs fans, there is plenty of time in the next few days to have that attitude. That
yeah,
there's
absolutely.
Still four more to go. But let's also cherish this moment and understand the significance. And I don't think there's any problem with understanding that. I think Cubs fans know that. And we are here with you. My name is Adam Hogue. That's Andy Mazur, who you've heard on this station for so many years talking about the Chicago Cubs. And we're here till 1 a.m. We'll have Mark Carmen, Kevin Powell. We got so many people out and around the ballpark, and we'll have coverage from WGN Television throughout the night, too. We'll throw it out to Wrigley Field and get you a live reaction as it all unfolds at Wrigley Field. And I just...
It's amazing.
It's hard to put it all into words.
I know the folks that have gathered around our Michigan Avenue studios here are probably having the same hard time believing that this is actually happening. And I got to tell you, it's actually happening. And take nothing away from what was accomplished on that field tonight by Kyle Hendricks. I mean,
unbelievable
this
performance.
This kid goes out there. This is a kid last year we couldn't count on in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth starter coming into this season. And the next thing you know, this guy is facing the minimum. The Cubs pitching staff faced 27 batters tonight. And they shut down.
Against Clayton Kershaw.
They annihilated Kershaw early. They got to him. The guy was frustrated. You could tell he was frustrated. And the next thing you know, the champagne bottles are uncorked, and there's a wild celebration going on at Wrigley Field.
Well, let's go right to the start of the game. And by the way, 312-981-7200, that's the phone number. You know that phone number. We'll take your phone calls here till 1 a.m. We really want to hear from you, the Cub fan, because we understand that there's so many personal stories for you throughout the years, the angst you've been through, and the emotions that must be flowing tonight. We want to hear those stories via phone, text. That's the phone number, 312-981-7200, and we're here for you until 1 a.m. to do that. But we'll also break down the game and get you the reaction from Wrigley as well. And let's go to the start of the game,
mm-hmm.
or at least the bottom of the first, when the Cubs get up there against Clayton Kershaw. And let's be honest, those first two hits, those were good pitches from Clayton
yeah,
Kershaw.
They're good pitches.
I mean, Dexter Fowler hits one down the right field line, just a bloop single that really shouldn't have been a hit. And it bounces into the stands.
It's funny you say that because the StatCast said that the speed of the ball off the bat, 78 miles an hour at a 33-degree launch angle, is a hit 7% of the time.
7% of the time. And it was a good pitch. And then Chris Bryant gets up there, and that's just a great piece of hitting by Chris Bryant because that was another good pitch from Clayton Kershaw. It was low and outside. He just flips the bat out there. He gets a single. And There's Clayton Kershaw, and all of a sudden the Cubs have two guys on, and he hadn't really thrown a bad pitch yet. But that's how you get after a guy
mm-hmm.
like Clayton Kershaw, because you can't help but be frustrated. It's human nature. And I really think that kind of set the tone for the whole night. I don't know that it goes the same way as it did if that first inning doesn't start like that. So you get him kind of frustrated. You have the drop by Tolles in the outfield, which, man, that's a terrible play to have in that moment in that game. And I'm sure they'll be talking about that in Los Angeles for a long time. And then Once all that happens, you start to take advantage. Contreras gets the home run, Rizzo gets the home run, and you really got after Clayton Kershaw. What a performance.
This is going to sound stupid for me to say this, but I think the biggest plate appearance of the game was by Ben Zobrist. And this is the guy that got the offense going with a bunt. And that was the end of the slump. Let's finish that story. Let's go out to Wrigley Field right now. John Lester.
How you draw it up, it's never easy. So it's just, I'm happy that we got here. I'm happy we can celebrate. I'm glad these fans are here. And I mean, I haven't seen outside, but I've only heard outside's even crazier. So this is unbelievable to be a part of. It's unbelievable to be part of this franchise and to be a part of this right now, to go to the World Series. And hopefully we can just continue to keep going.
I don't want to dim the celebration, but what do you think of the
Well, I think they're on the move there at Wrigley Field talking to John Lester. We might have Tom Ricketts, too, in a moment. We'll see.
We got it over tonight. I mean, for me, it's really all about the fans and all the fans that have hung with us all these years. Not just with the team for all these years, but with the rebuild that we've done the last 4, 5, 6 years. People have went through a lot, and they've all been with us, and it's really incredible.
You sat in those bleachers a long time ago. What was that emotion like for you for that final hour?
I'm just really happy for everybody. Like, I mean, it's just an incredible night. You know, it's everyone, every Cub fan in the world could be here.
Tom, were there ever moments that you doubted that this would happen?
I don't know, not really, no. I mean, the fact is that we knew we were doing the right things. We're being consistent and being smart, and I always knew that we'd get somewhere close. I mean, now we're here. Let's get four more wins.
To deliver this to the fans, to be a part of helping this come about, what does that mean to you? 71 years between trips to the World Series.
Yeah, is that how long?
You didn't know that number.
Yeah, I've heard that. You know, the fact is, even to be a small part of something that means so much to so many people is really incredible. And it's really humbling, and all I really want now is just to take a day off and get four more wins.
What were you thinking as you looked around tonight and looked at the faces of these fans, ranging from all ages, as they took in the win that gets you guys back to the Fall Classic?
You know, I walked around for a few innings there, and everybody was very confident. I mean, I really believe that. Like, nobody, it wasn't like, it didn't have any of the vibe that we had in 08. Like, everybody knew this team was going to pull through. And so it was just a matter of high-fiving some folks and shaking some hands and handing out some baseballs. And once again, you know, for me, it's all about the fans.
And you keep mentioning.
That's Tom Ricketts out at Wrigley Field, the owner. And you heard him talk about the confidence there.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't help but notice that today, too. And not only just the confidence in winning tonight, but even if they didn't win tonight, there was a different feeling than in 03 when they didn't win.
Yeah.
That it was okay to lose to Clayton Kershaw tonight. You didn't want to, but you could accept it knowing that they were probably still the better team at home going into Game 7, which you know, Andy, was mm-hmm. just not the case after what happened in Game
not
6 in 03.
Yeah, unfortunately, being there for that whole situation, there was an air of, oh, man, here we go again. And again, I think that this team, but the way they've constructed it and the experience that they got from last year and losing in the National League Championship Series the way they did, got them right for this because, you know, you can't play a whole series in one game. You have to understand that they put it at seven games because these are the two best teams in the National League battling it out. So you take it a game at a time. It sounds so cliche and so stupid to say, but it's the absolute truth. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I had a little bit of a calmness going about me when I was watching this game a little bit more than I did in 03 when I was there. But, you know, what I was saying before we went to Tom Ricketts, I really think that the biggest bat in that first inning was Ben Zobrist. If you get one run in that inning, Kershaw is off the hook. I mean, he's feeling pretty good about things.
Mm-hmm.
Two strike fly ball to center field to get another run home was absolutely critical to me in making it more than one run in that first inning. And Zobrist, who got the offense going again with a little bunt a couple of games ago,
maybe the biggest play of the whole series.
An unsung hero to me.
And the way that at-bat started was not pretty,
no,
too.
Not at
so
all.
For him to do that, I completely agree. Look at the text flying in, 312-981-7200. Flying the W in San Jose. Go Cubs, go. Hashtag Ernie and Ron are smiling. The an 807 phone number checking in from Thunder Bay, Ontario, on Lake Superior. Tonight, dreams came true. I'm 49, and I get to see the Cubs play in the World Series. Go Cubbies. So right there, San Jose, California, Thunder Bay, Ontario. We know you Cubs fans are everywhere. We know that you've been coming to WGN Radio for all these years. And I know we have to hit a break here. And we will continue to get you all the reaction from Wrigley Field. We have our own reporters out there. We have WGN-TV out there and our partners there. The party is rolling on the field at Wrigley Field. Weekday mornings, it is everything you need to know and some things you just need to see. WGN-TV Morning News is Chicago's must-watch morning news. This is Adam Hogue, Andy Mazur here with you to 1 a.m. on 720 WGN.
Left side.
Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
That is a real highlight from tonight. It's not from 1945.
No, because there was no TV back then.
That is Joe Buck telling you on Fox that the Cubs won the pennant tonight.
Harry S. Truman was president of the United States the last time the Cubs won the National League pennant.
These texts we're getting, Andy, are unbelievable.
I know, they're starting to choke me up.
708, my son Neil just watched the game in Thailand. After the game, he ran to the beach for this photo. It's him standing on the beach with a Cubs flag in Thailand.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's so cool to really see these Cubs fans from everywhere. We got Nancy calling right now, 312-981-7200. Nancy's in Arkansas. Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
How are you celebrating right now, Nancy?
Well, I've already went over to somebody's house because they've given me a hard time all day today, and I honked my horn three small beeps and then a real long one.
Yeah, give him the long one.
Out, yeah, and he couldn't believe I did that. And then I've already told him that I'm going to be going to church in the morning with a complete Chicago Cub gear.
I like it. I like it. You tell them, Nancy, you're allowed to honk your horn wherever you want to tonight because the Cubs won the pennant.
Honk it loud and honk it proud.
Yes. just insane. It's really cool. We've seen it already out here on Michigan Avenue. We're inside the Showcase studio. If you're downtown tonight, come say hello. We're here till 1 a.m. We'll take your phone calls. We'll continue to get the reaction on the field. But, Andy, you mentioned... on your way here tonight.
I'm not usually an omen guy.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's something about certain things. I was listening to a music station coming in tonight. I got to clear my mind, you know? I mean, I was kind of punching back and forth between the Blackhawks and the Billy Joel channel on Sirius XM. And the first song I heard on Billy Joel's channel tonight, Say Goodbye to Hollywood. Can you believe that? I mean, I'm thinking to myself, okay, it's done. It's over. It's done tonight. There's no chance that they're going to lose tonight. I don't know what it is. And again, like I said, I'm not a real big omen guy, but I kind of had a good feeling as I was coming up here today.
There was something about tonight. A weird confidence against the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
And the way those first two hits, and I'm going to go back to that, in the first inning, fell in there, and all of a sudden you had a 1-0 lead. Within just a few pitches, it was there's something meant to be there.
Yeah.
You want to go out to Wrigley
Let's
right now?
Go to Billy Williams.
Yeah, Billy Williams is speaking at Wrigley Field right now, courtesy of WGN-TV.
And it was a tight-knit ball club from that point on. They played well. They played for each other. And you see how it went all year.
And the Cubs are truly a team, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. You got some good pitching. You got pitchers that get people out. You got double play combination. And, of course, we mentioned Dexter, which is a good center field. And he's been going pretty good all year.
Baez,
he's an excited player, you know.
We're too excited.
Yeah, well, he's an excited player. That's the way he is. And I also said, he's not afraid to make a mistake. He'll go out and play hard.
But
the mistakes, he don't worry about it. He worries about positive.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. I'm standing here on the field, and all of a sudden we're in the World Series. And, man, I'm telling you, this is really, really something. I knew when we got Scottie Pippen out here. I saw him in the clubhouse today. I said, you bring those six championships here, didn't you? Yeah, but, standing on the field here, standing on this sacred ground, celebrating the night, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. Oh, yeah. I think about those guys all the time.
Yeah,
I started off in AA baseball. This is 1959.
This is a lot different.
different than the NLDS. This year was a little subdued.
Going inside the clubhouse, not Dexter Fowler.
This is about that time.
From our friends from Channel 9.
Yeah, but we're going to turn up. You know, we're excited. We ended a little too early last time, but we got work to do, and four more wins, and we'll do it.
Can you describe what that moment was like with that last out, how loud it was out there?
It was unbelievable from the start. Even for the national anthem on, the crowd was in it, and that gave us some adrenaline.
Congratulations. Well done. Well deserved.
All right, that's Dexter Fowler inside the clubhouse. You hear how crazy it is. Let's also go on the field. We have WGN Radio's own Kevin Powell. He's on the field right now. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Pretty emotional scene here. As that final out was made, I was standing in the 100 section among the fans, and it was pure chaos. Beer was flying in the air. Seen multiple grown men crying. I've seen it here on the field, and not one player or a member of the front office here, Tom Ricketts, Theo Epstein, any of the players have forgotten to mention the fans. They continue to talk about them, how much it means for them, just as much as it does for them. It's emotional here on the field for sure.
Well, Kevin, what are some of the highlights of guys that you've talked to so far? I know you've spoken to most of the front office and some of the key players.
Well, John Lester, talking to him, he was fired up. I mean, he had a little bit of all kinds of emotion running through him. He was pumped up. He started cheering a little bit as the crowd erupted once again for one of the player introductions. So John Lester talked about it. They've embraced this target all season. They came in as a favorite, and they've done everything that everyone's sort of expected them to do. So to be here now, he said it was the loudest he's ever heard this place when that last out was made. To me, that sort of, it kind of summed it up. I mean, these guys call each other brothers. Jen Hoyer just said this team is full of a bunch of brothers. They all love each other. They're all friends together, and they lean on one another. You've seen it all season. Dexter Fowler once again gets ahead, and they said once that happened, everyone sort of exhaled a little bit. Anthony Rizzo talked about it. John Lester talked about it, that when they got on the board early, it's what they've done all year. So you go, we go, Dexter Fowler. They get ahead, they exhale a little bit, and they said just as the fans were, they were a little antsy in the dugout as out by out went by. But, they've leaned on each other all year, guys, and this is what everyone anticipated and expected to see. It's as crazy as it might feel to have them going to the World Series, this is what everyone thought they could do, and they pulled it off. They've done it.
Kevin, you're talking about grown men in the aisles crying. You know, I admitted to Adam actually saw me start doing the same thing upstairs.
It happened.
But the thing, could you tell me, was it a sense of disbelief? Were people believing this? Because I'm still having a hard time with it.
Yeah, it's almost surreal here. I'm standing in left field right now, just sort of taking it in, to be honest. And look, I didn't grow up a Chicago Cubs fan, but I understand that the gravity that they have in the sports world, and even more than that, culturally. I mean, this is a fan base that is global. I mean, there's fans all around the world here. They've been waiting so long. It's, when it happened, it was, yeah. I mean, I think that's a good point, Andy. When it happened, Wrigley was shaking. I think everyone here had chills, including myself. And I think everyone just kind of lost their mind for a few seconds there, to be honest. Now you see fans in the stands hugging each other. It's still pretty full here in Wrigley as the party's just getting started. But, yeah, I mean, it feels surreal, to be honest, just standing here and soaking it in. And especially when we first made our way out here and the players were still celebrating, you could just feel the weight of the fans staring down at the field. I think everybody was just 100% glued to the diamond, just seeing the Cubs win the pennant. It was it was a surreal moment, an emotional moment. There's joy, there's tears, but as multiple Cubs have already mentioned, there's still work to do, and obviously we know what that is. But
well, Kev, I'm going to let you get
scene here.
Kev, I'm going to let you get in that clubhouse and cover the celebration, because based on what I'm seeing on TV, it's already lit. I think that's what the kids are saying, because there are grown men in Speedos, nothing but Speedos, dancing around with champagne over their heads.
Have you seen Mark Carter with his shirt off yet? Because I think he already made his way down into the clubhouse. So
oh, God.
Sure, having a good
that
time.
Was Mark Carmen I saw?
Oh,
I believe
God.
It. All right, Kev, we'll check in with you again in the next 2.5 hours. We'll talk to you soon. Kevin Powell live on the field at Wrigley Field. We'll take a quick timeout. Everyone on hold. Maggie, Bill, everyone else, 312-981-7200. We'll get to your phone calls, I promise. Amazing text messages still coming in, too. We'll get you those as well. This is 720 WGN.
No doubt about it.
And a smart, terrific manager in Joe Maddon. High fly.
Best Cubs postgame show. Back to True Blue Playoff Plus. Brought to you by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
The Cubs are going to the World Series. A 5-0 victory over the Dodgers in Game 6 of the NLCS behind just an outstanding performance by Kyle Hendricks, who goes 7 1/3, only gave up 2 hits, struck out 6. As a team, the Cubs faced the minimum in an enormous game. You give him all the credit in the world.
Kyle Hendricks was out of his mind. Aroldis Chapman was called on to come in and get 5 outs and did so with a double play in the 8th inning and got the final outs on a double play in the 9th inning. And the next thing you know, the bedlam ensues and there's champagne flying around Wrigley Field. And for the first time since 1945, the Chicago Cubs are going to the World Series.
It's crazy. And there's a lot of people out there who... we know how much this means to, and one of those people is on the phone right now.
Absolutely. Us. Adam, I mentioned to you that the first two people I thought of were Ernie Banks and my old friend Ron Santo, and who better to have on than Ron's son, Jeff, who did that great movie and documentary on his father, this old Cub. And Jeff, how are things going, and what's going through your mind right now?
Hey, Andy, how you doing, man?
Doing great. It's been too long. How you doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing great. We're celebrating over here in Phoenix at Marley's Sports Grill, and just amazed by it all. Really, I mean, I'm still in shock.
You know, I kind of felt as I was coming into the radio station tonight that it was almost a given that they were going to win tonight. But I know you've been around a long time, and I know your father would have just absolutely gone crazy in that booth tonight.
Oh, he would have gone crazy the whole postseason. I mean, I don't know if, you know, he would have survived that. You know, it was just the ups and downs, the roller coaster of it all. And, you know, everyone waiting for something to go wrong. And these guys just battling. My dad would be, you know, he'd be out of his mind right now. He'd have the goggles on in the champagne room and, you know, with his cane. And, oh, it would be a sight to see.
Ron Santo's son Jeff with us here on 720 WGN as we celebrate the Chicago Cubs going to the World Series, which is just crazy to actually say out loud. And Jeff, one of the things we've been talking about here is the confidence, not just with this team, but the fan base too. There was a different feeling today. I don't know how else to describe it. Were you feeling that too? That there's just something different about this team, that it actually was going to happen?
Yeah, I was talking to my sister, my wife, Craig, about it all. I mean, we really invested this year in watching the Cubs. I mean, we don't live in Chicago, so we catch every game, you know, on the MLB app. And I got to tell you, I was just like, if they don't pick it up, I mean, it would be sad. I mean, I don't know if I could have watched them the next, you know, April if they didn't get to the World Series. It runs that deep, and I think it runs deep with everyone, that this team is so good. And remember the great teams in the Cubs history while you've been alive. I mean, going back to 69 with my dad's team and then 84, you know, in 2003. But, you know, 69, you know, those guys played together, you know, for a long time, came up together, Billy and my dad. You know, those guys played in Houston together and came up, you know, at the same time. And you know, just these guys are doing the same thing. And so you're really cheering for that because so many of them are homegrown or, they made their bones in Chicago. They didn't make it somewhere else. And then to get the bets in with them, it was, yeah. I mean, this team's special, and it connects me back to my father and our life and growing up and being part of the history of the Cubs, you know, since I was born.
It's amazing. Hey, Jeff, we appreciate you jumping on here. We're going to let you get back in and celebrate with your friends there and your family. And I couldn't resist the reaching out and touching base with you. It's been way too long, first of all, but your dad was one of the first people I thought of, even before my father.
Oh, man, Andy. Thank you, man. He loved you. you know, spent a lot of time with him, and you're a good man, you know. So thank you. Thanks for the call. Thanks for connecting. Thanks, Craig. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, sounds good. Jeff, we'll hopefully talk to him in a week or so.
That's awesome.
We can celebrate something else as well.
That is awesome hearing from
he's a great guy, Jeff
Santo, and we know how much that means to the Santo family, what happened, mm-hmm. what happened tonight. We know what it means to so many of you. And actually, we have Chris Bryant, I think, right now at Wrigley Field. Let's go to him.
When you were a little kid, I can't remember. I just remember just going in the backyard, hitting baseballs, playing wiffle ball in the street. You know, I don't remember talking about this, but all that plays into this, you know, having a lot of fun when you're a kid and having a lot of fun. I'm still a kid. This is it's a kid's game, and you guys all saw. We had a blast out there today.
You knew he'd do that all the time. I had a feeling.
How long were you
just to sink in for real?
I don't know. I don't think it's going to sink in until, you know, the offseason maybe. I mean, this is fun right now, but we're just getting started. I mean, we want to win the whole thing. We don't want the pennant. We want the whole thing.
Chris, you were talking about the fans. They about blew the top off this place in that double play.
Yeah, I mean, as the loudest I've heard of any crowd in general. I mean, these people here, I mean, they're unbelievable. They're still here. I mean, I don't know when the game ended, but they're here. They could be out on the street right now going to all the bars here, but they're having a great time. We owe it to them. You know, look at that. I mean, it's unbelievable.
How was the clubhouse?
It's drenched. I mean, they might need a new one after after tonight, but well deserved. We're going to enjoy it, and you know, hopefully have one more of these.
I love that. It's drenched. They might need another new one. They just got a brand new one. Quickly, before we take a break, Maggie has been on hold forever, and she's calling from Denver, another place not in Chicago.
Correct.
That we're hearing from all over the country, all over the world so far tonight. Maggie, you're on 720 WGM.
Thanks a lot. Every year I go to the Cubs game when it comes here to Coors Field, and every year I stand out there and I scream, 69 years of tears. And this year, Hector Rondon gave me a baseball, and now I'm coming back for the World Series. I can't believe it.
That's awesome, Maggie. So you're coming back to Chicago?
Yes. My sister and I decided road trip. You know, it's like buy those shoes, eat that cake, make that trip. We're coming. The old gals are coming back to Portage Park.
Absolutely, Maggie. Well, good luck and safe travels back to Chicago. We look forward to seeing you here. I mean, I would give the same advice to really any Cub fan.
Yep.
I mean, roll it all out. This next week is just something no one has seen since 45. And potentially, what, 99.9% of the world hasn't seen? If it all happens, it's incredible. Let's also hear quickly from Bill before we take a break. Hey, Bill, you're on 720 WGM.
Yeah, I'm just real excited. My dad was in the press box for the 1945 World Series. He was a high school sports editor and won a contest, and so was able to go to the press box. And I've been a Cub fan all my life. I've heard the stories. I'm just so excited that he's still alive and can be a part of this ride again. It's going to be a blast.
Well, thanks for the phone call, Bill. It's another story we appreciate hearing. We'll keep them coming all night long. And let's go out to Jed Hoyer right now, who's in the clubhouse.
All day today, it felt like the city. There's some energy in the city. Everyone's excited. And to go out there against the best pitcher in the world and have that kind of game, amazing.
That is the clubhouse. It's not a dance floor, by the way.
That's the music.
That's actually happening inside their locker room.
A lot of people today that... It's kind of how it should be, right? We have to be the guy like Kershaw to get there, and they did. And whenever a venue has somebody's harder, it makes it more satisfying. It isn't really that fun. Yeah, I mean, I think that the way the game went, I think we had a pretty good sense of that we were going to win. And that built and built as the game went on. And, you know, when we got spread down to get a first down and ninth, kind of, you sat there and deep breath, like, Chapman's going to get through this. And he was great, and nice to do that double play with that. think about it is a fan. I mean, I think that I've been here for 5 years, but a lot of people have been waiting to see World Series games from Chicago for 70 years. So this, you know, this is about them. I think that, you know, in our mind, we have four more wins we need to get to ultimately have a parade here.
Well, leave it up to this Cubs team to find a new way to party in a clubhouse.
They have a DJ in there.
That was not a club on Rush Street. That was...
It was Club 1060.
That was the actual Cubs clubhouse. Let's go back out to Wrigley Field right now. We have Ryan Burrow, who's at the stadium. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Yeah, the party's still going on here. A lot of people coming down over by the dugout. Dugouts, the beers and... I'll walk. I guess who I found. Andrea Darlis. Andrea, you a fan for this one.
We got to cut out of there. Yeah, we got to reestablish that connection there.
I think the line got swallowed in champagne.
Probably. Yeah, there's a lot going on at Wrigley Field, a lot of different connections. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll try to reestablish with Ryan Burrow, who's with Andrea Darlis at the stadium, and we'll continue to roll in the coverage. We got Mark Carmen, Kevin Powell out there for you with all the players in front office, and we'll hear from Joe Maddon before we're out of here, too, and your phone calls and texts at 312-981-7200. This is True Blue Playoff Plus. Adam Hogue, Andy Mazur here with you till 1 a.m. 720 WGM. Addison Russell live at Wrigley Field right now.
Whenever you have guys like KB... Baez, myself, whenever you have guys like Johnny Lester that has experience, that has been in the postseason, has won championships, same thing with Zobrist, you know, you add all that in and then you make all of us mesh, you got something very special, not only for this year, but for the years to come, and it's only getting started, so that's what I'm excited about, is not only punching this ticket and going to the World Series, but after, you know, when it's all said and done, these are guys that we're going to be with for a while, and there's no slowing down for us.
Eddie, what do you say to these fans, many of them who have gone through not just a couple of years of futility, but like decades?
I would say thank you for hanging in there with us. Absolutely. They deserve it more than we do. Quote from KB tonight, they've lived the Cubby way for X amount of years, and we're just happy that, you know, that they could live through us, and we're happy that they could actually see us on the big stage, going to the World Series and doing what we do, and it's just funny how this game works, you know, it's just the game of baseball. There's so much love, there's so much passion, and that's what the Cubby fans, they bring to us, and we see that, and then we relay that through the clubhouse. We know what they want. They want a World Series title, and we have the chance to give them that. So that's our goal.
Did you have a chance in the ninth inning to just take a step back?
That's Addison Russell out at Wrigley Field. And, you know, we talk about moments in the series. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the Ben Zobrist bunt, but it was that kid who came through with the big home run in Game 4 and again in Game 5.
Yep.
And his bat and Anthony Rizzo's bat coming alive really changed things in the series. Let's go back out to Wrigley Field. Kyle Hendricks is speaking.
They continue to add on. That, I mean, confidence-wise, that must have made you feel at ease.
Definitely. Every inning when we're going in there, we're putting guys on, you know, scoring a run here and there, padding the lead. Just allows me to be more aggressive. And once I got in my game plan with Wilson, I mean, we just clicked. We're on the same page all night long. It's been that way all year long, honestly, with him. So it made it fun.
You said last time you were kind of trying to make them chase. You didn't want to pound the zone like you normally do. Was that? It looked like you were going more strike every this time.
Yeah, again, getting those early runs off Kershaw really allows me to do that. Last game, I gave up one early. We were down 1-0, so I knew I couldn't give up any more. He was sharp that day, and I knew I had to keep it at a 1-0 game. Today, going up 3-0, you're definitely allowed. You can pound the zone more, go after their guys, put them on their heels more. So, like I said, that was the tone of the game, setting the tone.
When it ended, Kyle, what was it like in terms of some of the other celebrations you've been in? I mean, it was like the top blew off Wrigley Field.
Yeah, you know, the loudest I've ever heard it in this place, that's for sure, and rightly so. They've been waiting for it a long time, too long, so hopefully we have more of these to come, but at the end of the day, we're not there yet. We still got four more, and we know what our goal is, but we're going to enjoy this a lot. I hope they do, too.
All right, that's Kyle Hendricks out at Wrigley Field. Let's reestablish with Ryan Burrow, who is now on the phone. Hey, Ryan.
So
story about that. Everyone's using up the darn data out here. It's like all aboard.
We're still having issues there with Ryan, and
it's unfortunate.
We'll get him on the line. We know there's a lot going on at Wrigley Field. Technology is still limited here in 2016. let's try him again here on Ryan. Are you there? Nope.
Got a little Katy Perry going on.
A little Katy Perry, though. We can jam to that tonight. Absolutely. All right. We'll take a timeout. We'll reestablish with Ryan. We'll try to get the vibe and the scene out there at Wrigley Field with him. It's Adam Hogue. It's Andy Mazur here with you. It's True Blue Playoff Plus, presented by Wintrust and Sloan here on 720 WGM. Wilson Contreras home run to make it 4-0. Anthony Rizzo added on, that made it 5-0, and really just a dominant, easy win against Clayton Kershaw tonight, which who would have thought it would be easy, but
nobody,
it was.
Nobody would have thought. I thought maybe second, third time through the order, but they got him early, and that was really good.
All right, well, we got a ton of guests to get to. We got Andrea Darlis out at the stadium, and Kim Gordon was over there as well. We'll check in with them. But first, we go to Ro Khan, who you hear frequently every single day on 720 WGN. Ro, was it as easy for you as it looked like to us on TV? Because it's just unbelievable that we're even saying that.
Well, I was at the 75th anniversary of the USO Gala, and it was. And I had a seat tonight to the game, but I'm also on the board of the USO, so I had no choice. I had to go do that, and I gave up my seat to, I'm sure, a young, homeless, crippled person. That's the kind of person that I am. I'm sure that's exactly what happened. Everybody was watching this on their phones, which was an amazing thing. And so there was an auction going on, and there was a Medal of Honor recipient up on the stage who was extolling people to spend money while there. This is a young guy who got grievously injured in Afghanistan, and he's up there trying to get everybody to spend money, and then the auctioneer's out there, and then the crowd erupts because simultaneously everybody was getting push notifications that the game had, the Cubs had won the National League, and everybody just goes absolutely insane, and there was no money left to be raised at that point. but it turns out that this Medal of Honor recipient happens to be a huge Cubs fan, and it was really it turned into like this great celebration. I think all over the city, obviously, also all over the country, as Andy very well knows, having traveled with the Cubs all over the country, there's a lot of fans, expatriates in places, and this is a very special moment because this really goes down for all of the dead relatives. I mean, don't you think? I mean, that's kind of the thing. Like, I have grandparents who never saw a Cubs World Series, lifelong Chicagoans, and win the World Series, barely remember the 45 World Series. So this is really pretty great.
Yeah, I turned myself into a blubbering idiot upstairs watching this. I couldn't speak for at least 2 or 3 minutes, just kind of thinking like you're talking about, thinking back to people who I wish I could call right now, and those that I actually did call. Who were some of the first people you thought about?
Well, I thought about my grandfather, and I thought about, some of the other people in my life over the years that, when I was a little kid, who first took me to Wrigley Field. The first time I ever got on what is now the Red Line. It wasn't called that back then. And walking in the first time and seeing the ivy, and just kind of going back to all of this, and kind of never having the thought, I'm kind of interested in how you guys feel about this too, never truly believing that I was ever going to see this moment, thinking that as close as we got, during the Bartman moment, and in other places, and to me it's 84, which was the great heartbreaker because they seemed like a team of destiny back in 1984, and it didn't work out.
Well, for me, Ro, it's something about this new ownership and the hiring of Theo when they did it that there was just a certain confidence that you trusted these. I don't know. To me, 2003 just sort of felt like it was just it all just kind of came together.
It was a fleeting moment.
Yeah, there wasn't, and I think that added to the heartbreak that that nothing was guaranteed the next year with at least with this team. Yeah, nothing's guaranteed, but there's a plan. There's a core here, much like we talk about with the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. There's a core here that you know isn't going to go away, and if someone goes down, there's other people that can fill in, which we saw this year with Kyle Schwarber. So there's just a different feeling about this team, bro.
Yeah. And also I think it's an important point too that this may be the first team that they're like, curse. What are we? No, there's no curse. What are we? You know,
yeah.
They're not thinking about that because these guys are incredibly great. And you've got these young kids. The core. I mean, I guess we go to this whole notion, right? About this is a number of these guys are under contract for a number of years, and they've been developed by the Cubs organization. I mean, Javier Baez is absolutely incredible. And you know what? What do your parents and grandparents teach you about baseball? You got to be great through the middle, right? You got to have a great pitching, a great catcher, second baseman, shortstop, center fielder. And if you got that, you got pretty much everything you're going to need, right? And so that's and when you stop and you think about the embarrassment of Rich as a catcher, and you think about the young core of incredible bats, and now to me the great storyline, does Kyle Schwarber show up in Cleveland?
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, he was 0 for his first two tonight as a DH.
Right, he was. He's in Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in Arizona,
yeah.
Fall League.
You know, Ro, it's something I've been like sort of half kidding about all summer.
It's the
on
natural.
Our weekend show. I'm just like, you know, he's going to the world. He's going to be there for the World Series. And
well,
then
it's
all
interesting
of a sudden
that they activated him, right?
Yeah.
Well, and he's been around this team all year, so to pull him away from this historical moment tonight, if you weren't going to take it. Obviously, they're considering it. You don't pull them away from that, just from a human nature standpoint, unless you're really seriously considering him for the World Series.
Yeah. I think it's amazing. Yeah. Adam, I think you're 100% right.
Right. You can't do that to the kid. Hey, Ro, thanks so much for jumping on here. Real quick, because we know you're going to have coverage all week long, how do you even go about covering the Cubs in the World Series along with the historical election at the same time?
Well, it's going to be interesting, but we will have Kevin Powell and Violeta Podomatic in Cleveland starting on Tuesday.
Awesome.
For us. So it'll be it's full action in the afternoons on WGN. You know, the Cubs are in our DNA.
They are.
I've heard that.
That's what I hear. And I think we feel that, too. Thanks so much, Ro.
Thanks, Ro.
Thank you, guys.
All right, enjoy the night. That's Ro Khan, who you can hear Monday at 3 p.m. We'll have the coverage for you all day, all throughout the week. All right, let's continue as we roll through here the WGN Bank of Personalities.
Roll call.
Andrea Darlis was at Wrigley Field tonight. She's still at Wrigley Field. Hi, Andrea.
Oh, my God. If you wanted to see me cry like a child, you should have been in the stands with me. I'm telling you guys.
Well, I saw Andy here tonight crying.
Well, we see that every time I see him. Yeah, really. No, I'm kidding, Andy. I love you. Mays, oh, my God, you would have just died. I mean, my dad was a diehard Cubs fan. He's watching from heaven, and it was the first thing I thought of. I thought, oh, my gosh. You know, he signed me up with a diehard Cubs fan club when I was 6 years old. And, you know, you got the magazine and the poster, mm-hmm. and he's the first person I thought of tonight. And then, of course, Ron and Ernie and everybody that we all knew and loved at WGN Radio over the years. And just to be in that stadium, you know, aside from being happy that I put someone at Subhub, child through college tonight, I thought I had to be here. One of my best friends called me this morning and said, let's just do it. History's going to be made tonight. And I said, are you sure? And I was at the game, I'm not going to call it the Bartman game, in 05, and a bunch of our news staff was there, Steve Bertrand, Judy Pylak, myself, and Jim Anthony. And Jim had turned to me at that time and said, Andrea, 5 more outs until the World Series. And then we all know what happened there. So tonight, we were so cautious. But, you know, you just felt that it was such a different atmosphere. You really believed this time, guys. And I'm telling you, it was unbelievable and heart palpitations and just insane being in the stadium and the ballpark.
Hey, Andrea, real quick, let me put you on hold because we have Theo Epstein out at the ballpark. We'll come right back to you. Here's Theo.
You got it.
It's not a burden. Everyone in this organization is here to be part of this. You know, our free agents is signed here all took less to be here and be part of this. Our young players, when they signed here out of the draft or when they signed internationally, from the first minute they got here, they wanted to be part of this team. They started to understand what's all about. I'm going to be part of the team that brings the World Series back to Wrigley. Ownership, you know, they've given us the resources, went out and brought me here in part, and were super supportive and patient to be here for this moment. All our front office guys worked their tails off to get here. Our scouts, like, everyone's set something aside. Everyone sacrificed something to be here, to be part of the pennant-winning team and hopefully ultimately a World Series-winning team for our fans, because the history makes it that much more special. So why should we run from it? It just, all those ingredients just add to the special feeling we all have right now, seeing our fans rewarded.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it was awesome. The town was ready to explode. Walked here, a lot of people stopping in their cars, waving, wishing good luck. You know, the whole town, the whole city's part of this. They all deserve it. The energy is incredible. And, you know, it's probably nowhere else on the planet you can get something like that, walking through your neighborhood on the way to a ballpark that's ready to explode with this kind of joy. It's special.
What do you like most about this roster?
Just I love the youth and energy and the way that our veterans have embraced the young players and helped lead the way, but not by teaching the young players as much as just by embracing them and making them part of it, and they're all in it together. And then talent-wise, how well-rounded we are. You know, you saw all the ingredients tonight. The things that have made us good when we played well, which we have for most of the year, not the whole year, but most of the year. Really great starting pitching, a terrific approach at the plate, grinding, working counts, using the whole field, excellent defense, and then a bullpen to come in and close it out. So, you know, I was glad we played so well in our biggest game of the year, because that's really fitting for this type of club. You know, it's our 110th win of the year. It's not an accident. These guys are really good. I'm proud of them.
These guys be individuals.
Yeah, they can be themselves. Yeah. No, I think Joe really creates that environment where guys can relax and be themselves and let their personalities be part of their performance instead of something they have to manage to fit in on a major league club. And that's really marked the whole organization, you know, for 5 years, but it's hard to bring it to the big league level, and Joe and his staff really helped do that. Amazing. Yeah, just underrated elite pitcher, you know, and we chose him from a list of guys in the trade because of his makeup, because we had reports that he was smart and tough, and we continue to learn and get better and embrace challenges and get better as the competition got better, and he could learn more about advanced reports and follow a game plan. And the growth that he's had as a player and as a pitcher in the last 5 years is just amazing, culminating in that performance tonight. So it wasn't an accident. We're so proud of him and all the people who touched him along the way, from the scouts who recommended him to the development guys who worked with him to the pitching infrastructure here in the big league and his teammates. That was just an incredible performance.
STOF scene at Wrigley Field, and he was talking about Kyle Hendricks there,
yep,
who they acquired in the Ryan Dempster trade.
That's because Dempster said with his 5-10 rights, I'm not going to Atlanta. I want to go to Texas. So thankfully, Ryan Dempster said no to Atlanta,
right,
hello to Texas. Come say hello to Kyle Hendricks.
So even Ryan Dempster, who's part of this station here on 720 yep, WGN, had a part in the Cubs going to the World Series.
Real quick before we take our break here and get back to Andrea, Moises Alou tweets tonight, finally, no more what if, no more would you, hashtag off the hook.
It's true.
Interesting.
And he said something similar in that Catching Hell documentary where he was like, I really need them to win, mm-hmm, to get kind of get the monkey off his back, even yeah, though, you know, so many things happened there in Game 6 in 2003. Join Chicago Tribune in publicly recognizing the most dynamic and supportive companies in Chicagoland at the 7th Annual Top Workplaces event, November 10th at Soldier Field. Visit topworkplaceschicago.com for tickets. This is True Blue Playoff Plus. We will continue to take your phone calls. I know you've been on hold for a while. We promise we'll get to you. 312-981-7200. We got plenty of good texts as well that we will read to you. The Cubs are going to the World Series. We are here with you on WGN Radio till 1 a.m.
Base hit. Here comes Russell. Throw by Toews. Cut off. 3-0
Chicago, and Fowler's stuck.
Back to True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Also brought to you by Sloan. It's Adam Hoge. It's Andy Major here with you. We've been here with you throughout the playoffs, and it's not over yet.
No,
there's still another series to go, which is an amazing thing to say here on 720 WGN. Here's a list, Andy, of places we've heard from in the last hour and 24 minutes we've been on the air. Arkansas, Denver, San Jose, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Alabama, Montreal, Oregon, and Thailand. I mean, we're going worldwide here.
Yes, we are.
As the Cubs head to the World Series. And now we go back out to the phone lines, and we hit another caller who's not in Chicago. Bob is calling from New York. Thanks for staying on hold with us, Bob. You're on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Just following up on what Roe was saying, I want to thank my late uncle, Father Emil Steck, who spent many years at St. Stan's Cusca Church. He took me to a lot of games in 1969, and we'd always sit in the right field bleachers. And during his career, he ministered to the Spanish population. So one day we're sitting out in the right field bleachers, and he whispers to me, he says, "Yell this out to the guy out there in right field." And who was that but Roberto Clemente? And I don't know what he told me to say to him, but I yelled it out in my little kid voice, and Roberto Clemente turned around and tipped his hat to me. So I don't think it was anything bad. But that's my memory, and I'm just calling to congratulate everybody, and especially the Cubs and all the fans. So, and thank you guys for doing this tonight.
Well, thanks so much, Bob, for sharing that memory with you. We appreciate it. And there's so many memories and sentiments coming through the text line, too. 773, hey, guys, I can't stop crying tears of joy. When I was a little girl, my father took me to took me to Cubs games. He's passed on. My tears are bittersweet. They're for my dad and Ron Santo and Ernie. Wish they were here to see this. God bless them. Go Cubs, go. From the 312, my mom was born June 1946. Died of cancer this past July. She missed it on both ends. Hope she's watching upstairs. She is watching upstairs.
Absolutely.
And there's so many family members that we all have that unfortunately, because of this long drought, there's too many stories like that, but we know that they are watching from upstairs. And for those of us that are still here, you know, that's part of the celebration tonight. That's why it means so much.
I could not agree with you more.
Let's go back out to now we have Kim Gordon, who is in and around Wrigley Field tonight as well. Hey, Kim.
Hey guys, how you doing?
We're good. How
is it? Believe it?
I don't think we do believe it.
No, I don't think we do believe it, and I have to tell you, all the people that were sitting around me, nobody wanted to believe it until the very end. Nobody wanted to say this was going to happen until it actually happened. People were holding their breath through the entire game until the very, very last three outs. It was absolutely insane.
You know, there was a sense for me upstairs watching this game, first of all, once I was able to speak again, of just shock and, like, did this really just happen? I seriously, for about 15 minutes, I was having a hard time processing the fact that we're actually talking about this. I'm not asleep, and this is not some cruel dream, that it actually happened.
Right. And I couldn't believe it. And at first, it was just like, is this the real? And then at the very end, when there were maybe just 2 hours to go, I told my husband, I said, my heart is now starting to pump out of my chest. Like, this is really going to happen. But, you know, you guys were talking about with Roe and Andre about memories and how people have think of people who passed away who wanted this Cubs to win the World Series for years and years and years. And what I found was really interesting tonight on my way out, I interviewed a family that brought their 10-month-old and their 2-year-old to the game because it's just been in the love of the Cubs has been in their family for so long. They wanted to create this history with their kids. Sitting next to me at the game was a father with his son who was a sophomore. On our train on the way out, there was another dad there with his 11-year-old daughter. So people want to keep this. They want to, you know, spread the love of the Cubs, like, to the next generation. And you could see it was so many different generations sitting next to each other at the game and being able to share this piece of history. It was just amazing.
Well, we're happy you were there, Kim, and could enjoy all that. It's really incredible, all the stories like that that are out there, and we understand. Just to bring a 10-month-old to the game, because heck, you don't know if it's.
He was
sleeping on his dad's shoulder, and the 2-year-old was sleeping on the dad's shoulder. The 10-month-old was wide awake, ready to go, like, you know, strapped to the front of her mom. It was really cool, and they had a certificate that said, "My first Cubs game."
Awesome!
What a way to start your love of the Cubs, right?
Absolutely, great night to have that certificate. Thanks so much, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
All right, take care, guys.
That's Kim Gordon. Here on 720 WGN, and we keep it rolling right here with the Cubs fans at the station that we know and love.
Yeah, one other real quick text that just came in, and it's so accurate from the 815. One other you should mention who is watching from heaven, Steve Goodman, who wrote Go Cubs Go.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was waiting for his entire life, and then cancer took him away way too soon.
Absolutely. I mean, the list, unfortunately, goes on and on. And we go on and on here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio now with us. Nick, congratulations. We know how much this means to you, too.
Yeah, man. I just stopped crying. Ridiculous. I was losing. I barely sat during the entire game. I was just stomping around my apartment like a lunatic for most of the game. Unbelievable. You know, I grew up on Addison, 6.5 blocks away from the park, used to walk there and go to the games every day in the summer when I was growing up. And this is just, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Do not apologize for blubbering like you did, because I'm right there with you, man. And I think that there are millions of people that are exactly in that spot. And I think other people from the outside would probably have a hard time thinking, why are these guys crying over a baseball team? But, you know, Cub fans get it.
No, I mean, seriously, during the last probably 3 innings of the game, I couldn't sit down. I was shaking. And when they got the last out, when they got that double play, I just, it erupted like a waterfall. I was just crying, standing in the living room, crying. I've been a Cub fan for 51 years, man, and I've never seen anything like this. And I do want to say this. 1 year ago and a day, you know, a year and a day ago, the Cubs got swept by the Mets. 1 year ago and a day. And I remember posting on my Facebook page that I was very upset and I was heartbroken, not because they broke my heart, but because they broke my dad's heart. My dad lost his mind tonight. He's 75 years old. He was, you know, he was 4 when the last time they went to the World Series. My mom was 1. They both, you know, were extraordinarily excited tonight. This is just, you know, it's a generational thing. It's crazy. And I know that it you know, it sounds dumb to get so emotional about it, but I really couldn't function for about 15 minutes after the game was over. It was unbelievable.
Nick DiGilio with us right now on 720 WGN. Nick, we've talked a lot about the confidence with this team, how it just seems different. But you've also been through the roller coaster of being a Cubs fan. I mean, as those final outs were ticking tonight, was there still that sense of doubt that it couldn't really be official until it was over?
Yeah, I mean, 5 runs up, and I'm still like, uh-oh. You know, because that's the mind of a Cub fan. You know, you got a 5-run lead, and you think, oh, geez, we're going to lose this thing, maybe. You know, I have to say this. My favorite, one of the best teams that they ever fielded, in my opinion, was 2008, and they didn't even get out of the first round.
Yeah.
But this team is unbelievable. This team is insane. And Madden is just, you know, I mean, he's just the right guy at the right time. The build was perfect. What's happened is perfect. But again, there's always doubt. When you're a Cub fan, there's always doubt. But, man, you know, the Cubs are going to the World Series. I never thought I would say that in my life, but the Cubs are going to the World Series.
It's happening. And, well, thanks so much for checking in, Nick. We know how much this means to you, and I'm sure we'll be hearing it all week long with you. And we're looking forward to hearing more stories from you.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week, and go Cubs.
All right, Nick DiGilio right here on 720 WGN. We keep the conversation going with you till 1 a.m. That was Joe Buck calling it. It actually happened. The Cubs are going to the World Series.
You know, for all the criticism that Joe Buck took and for all the criticism that I kind of heaped upon him during this, I thought tonight he did a nice job with allowing the crowd to take over at some points.
They did a great. I mean, that must have been 2 minutes where they didn't talk.
Yeah,
at least.
And even at times when Kyle Hendricks was coming out of the game, and they kept it at the stadium.
Yeah.
And you got to hear the ovation for him coming out. You first heard the boos of Joe Maddon taking him out, and then you got to hear the ovation, which was I thought was great.
That's Andy Mazur. My name's Adam Hogue. We're here with you till 1 a.m. on a historic night in Chicago and on WGN Radio. And it's a night where we have surprise guests. And
this one's awesome.
Meaningful guests. And we know how much this means to so many listeners on 720 WGN. And that's Spike Odell, who's now on the phone with us.
You mean the man?
Hey, Spike.
Are you kidding me? Did we just win?
Spike.
It happened.
Pinch yourself, man. It actually happened.
Andy, you are going to get me two tickets to the series, aren't you?
You and me. You and me going.
Oh, man, I can't believe this. I was watching this, I'm afraid to say anything before it happens, you know. I don't want to jinx myself, but when it happened, I just blew up, man. I just blew up down here.
Spike, what was the feeling like in those final innings, outs? Because, you know, the Cubs have been there before, and you just can't help but have that doubt creep in. But at the same time, there's something different about this team.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. There is something different about this team. Because they won, first of all. But I used to tell everybody, you know, all my friends down here in Nashville, they would say, oh, you're from Chicago. You're a Cubs fan. You want the Cubs to win. I said, yeah, I do. But, you know, every year they come up and say, well, maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year. And I kept telling them I refused because I've been through this before so many times. I refuse to get excited until they get to the World Series. And now I can't go to sleep. I can't go to sleep.
It's like we had Jeff Sando on the show earlier tonight because, frankly, even before my own father, who is living and a healthy guy, knock on wood, I thought of Ronnie. And I thought of all the times that I had with him in the booth and just the times that we shared together and all the disappointments with this team. But who were some of the first people you thought of when that final out was made?
Well, I thought of you and Ronnie. Obviously, I really did because, I mean, all through the game, I kept thinking about that. And I kept, every time a play would go to third base, I think all the times that I was a kid, I'd watch Ronnie, you know, just go flat out, you know, sideways to make a play on a, you know, on a line drive to third base and get up and throw him out at first base. And I know you and he were such good buddies and you guys were so tight together. And I kept thinking of him. I kept thinking of Vernon. I kept thinking of Billy. I kept thinking of, you know, all the guys that I thought of when I was a kid. I mean, I grew up with a transistor radio around my banana bicycle handlebars, on my, you know, when I was a kid, and I kept the scorecard or a scorebook, in the little basket in the front of my back bicycle that I would keep score every game. And it's all come down to this. We're in the series now. I was waiting for that when I was 9 years old, and I'm 63 years old, and we finally did it. I never thought I'd live to see the day.
And now that you have, any thoughts about the next go around here with the Cleveland Indians of all teams?
Well, you know, I don't want to let the air out of the bag. I just never thought I'd ever see the Cubs in a World Series. You know, I don't want to go too far and say, are they going to win? I mean, obviously I want them to win, but I just want to see them in a series, quite honestly. That's where I'm at right now.
Spike, can you kind of remember what it was like after 2003 when it all kind of fell apart and everyone was so blindsided because they were so close and how that those days right here on 720 WGN compared to obviously what happened tonight?
Well, I remember, for example, the Bartman game, mm-hmm. when that happened, and the very next morning I was on the air and I said, you know, get off this guy's back. You know, he only did what you and I would have done. Mm-hmm. The ball went there to the left field side and he reached out to get a foul ball. I mean, I would have done that. You would have done that. Don't tell me you wouldn't have, because you would have. And I felt so bad for the guy, and I just thought, well, doggone it, though, that's just another part of what's going on with Cubs history. Everything bad happens, but you can't blame this guy for that. He didn't do anything wrong, And I just thought, well, I hope to God I live long enough to see where that curse will live itself out. We'll be in a series, and here I am.
Spike, appreciate the time. You're the man. Don't even argue with me about it. And it's great to hear your voice.
Andy, I love you.
I love you, man.
All right, buddy, go Cubs.
That's right, Spike. Maybe we'll check in with you during the World Series, which is
crazy.
Spike Odell there from Nashville watching the game tonight. Awesome. Awesome talking to him. My time here didn't really overlap with Spike, but that's the guy I listened to growing up because WGN was always on. And that's really cool to talk to him. Let's go back out. Andrea Darlis still at Wrigley Field, and we got a couple minutes to talk to her. Hi, Andrea.
Hey, you guys. This party is just it's beginning. It's crazy. I mean, the atmosphere is electric out here. To have been inside the ballpark, I mean, to watch history like that, growing up a Cubs fan, being at that, I hate to even call it the Bartman game, but, you know, it's a whole new day, it's a whole new chapter. I bought the $40 World Series 2016 Cubs hat just to have it, and I'm telling you, like I said to you guys before, I mean, I was crying inside. It was unbelievable being there, and now being outside, I exited the ballpark at Waveland, right by the firehouse there, and people were just waving the W flags and going crazy, peacefully. You know what I mean? This is a wonderful, wonderful celebration. And now I'm right by, actually just past the Taco Bell. So I'm just a pinch past Clark and Addison, where the craziness continues. You can hear behind me the helicopters hovering overhead, the people screaming in the streets. They're dancing. They're celebrating. It's just unlike anything I've ever seen before. And just to be here and be inside first and then outside now, you know, it's something that I can't even put words to, you guys. And I know you all understand that too.
Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, I wear a large hat, so I'm good for the money whenever you want to get that.
I just spent, Mazur, I just spent all my money. He said $40, and I went, what? And I went, why am I questioning this? It's a Cubs World Series hat. Holy cow. Did you ever think we'd be saying that? And then I kept turning to, you know, I ran into people at the park. I saw, hey, woo-woo. Fly the W. Everybody in Wrigleyville now is your best friend. Everybody's slapping fives. Everyone's giving high fives. But yeah, I just, the emotions are just incredible right now. I can't even put into words right now what's going through my mind and everybody here in Wrigleyville. And, you know, just as I said, I just keep repeating it. You know what I kept repeating, you guys, is the Cubs won the pennant. We are going to the World Series. We are going to the World Series. I just wanted to hashtag that all over Twitter. The Cubs won the pennant. Well, I mean, it just still hasn't even sunk in.
That's right. You got to keep telling yourself it because it doesn't. Those words shouldn't fit in the same sentence.
I know.
And they do. And by the way, Andre, I'm looking at a live television shot right here of Dave Ennett on WGN TV waving a W flag.
Ah, there you go. Hey, do you have the aerial shot of everybody surrounding the ballpark? Can you see me?
Yeah, I see you right now. I can see you.
I'm waving at you guys. Yeah. I'm wearing the World Series hat.
She's got my hat in her other hand. Nice. All right, great.
All right. Hats for everybody.
Yes.
Wait. I'm going to ask Jimmy if I can expense all of this.
I think you should.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
For the whole station, too. Just pick them all up.
Including my, you know, my several hundred dollar ticket.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely expensive.
Even better.
This is work. Yeah. Can you guys hear? You know, and this is interesting, too. Everybody's sitting on top of their cars. I'm actually getting to a point where they're allowing vehicle traffic again, and people are just standing on their cars. They're dancing at their own cars, I'm quick to say, as they're driving down the street. W flags everywhere.
We've seen a few flying down Michigan Avenue in cars here tonight, and seen some World Series hats and shirts as well. Andrea, thanks so much for your coverage there tonight. Enjoy the rest of the evening.
Absolutely, guys. Go Cubs. Four more to go, and let's do this. Let's make history.
Amen. Thanks, Andrea.
It's going to happen,
guys.
I think. Andrea Darlis out at Wrigley Field enjoying the festivities there. You know, at some point in the next hour and 12 minutes, we have some stories, too, that we're going to share with you.
We might even talk about the game, too.
We could do that. I was down at Wrigley before the game.
Yes,
Mark Carmen's going to be here in studio with us for the final hour as well. He was not only at the game, but also in the clubhouse, on the field, partaking in the celebration with all the players, front office. He was there for interviews. So we have plenty of sound to get to you. I mean, really, we could go all night.
Why not? I'm going to be here all night.
We could. Adam Hogue, Andy Mazur here with you. An unbelievably historic night here in Chicago and on 720 WGM. Producing, and I pulled that from the broad. That's from the broadcast at the end of the game.
The hair on my arm is standing up right now.
And you mentioned earlier, props to Fox and Joe Buck for letting that live.
Let it breathe.
The sound from the stadium. I imagine if you're outside the stadium, you know, I'd love to hear from fans tonight too that were not even in the ballpark, but around the ballpark. I tried to go down there. My wife and I went down there about 2 hours before the game, and we got as close as about Roscoe Village before we're like, all right, we better park, and parked, and we got on Divvy bikes. Actually, shout out to her. Great idea by her, because
nice.
We didn't really know what to do. We just walk it from Roscoe Village.
She goes,
let's get on
a
Divvy bike, and we did that. She's a lot smarter than I am. It's probably not a surprise. Anyway, we go down there, and they were like already shutting down streets, and it was almost like disappointing to me. I understand it, safety first, but it was kind of like, well, we want to get closer, and I don't know. But I'd love to hear from fans around the ballpark, too, what you were able to see, what you were able to hear, even if you weren't inside the stadium.
I'd have to imagine it's a little easier to hear outside the stadium today than it was back in 03 when they had a little pennant area set up by the fire station. There was probably 3,000 or 4,000 fans.
I was out there, actually.
With the Thundersticks?
Yes, I was out there on Waveland. I rode my bike there. Actually, I rode my bike there tonight. I rode there
nice.
Game
Very
6 in 03 because I lived – at Lincoln Armitage. I grew up in that area, and I rode my bike there as a 17-year-old in 03. Yes, I'm young, I know.
It's okay. Doesn't mean we don't like you anymore.
I'm 30 now. I'm an
You're
adult.
Good.
I'm adult, barely. And I was out there on Waveland. I saw a lot of things that night.
I can imagine you did.
Like women and...
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing things, and it was a lively atmosphere. So that's kind of what I want to hear tonight. Was it similar? Were they not letting people on Waveland like they did back then?
Yeah, I didn't see too many aerial shots of it tonight, but I would imagine if you were out there, it's probably easier to hear and see now that the video boards and the new sound system are in.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Let's check in with Patty Vasquez, who's been a part of our coverage here on True Blue Playoff Plus throughout the week. Hey, Patty.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great. I mean, how could we not be?
Oh, my God.
The Cubs are in the World Series.
I can't. I don't even know. I mean, I'm at Rosemont. I performed at Sadie's tonight. I had to be on stage for most of the game, but I did watch the last three innings with WGN TV's morning news guy, Mike Toomey. And it's unbelievable. It was great. I can't. What?
Hey, Patty, did the same emotions kind of come back to you again now knowing that this ball club is headed to the World Series?
Well, I cried. I told you I was crying in the car on Thursday after they won Game 5 because it was so close, right? And
right.
We didn't know. Like, I'm no, because this is exciting. Look, 1945, it's what, 71 years. The Cubs haven't even played a series on television. It's all been through, you know, wanting and desire and hoping and crying and praying. And now none of us know how to react. It's just too crazy, isn't it?
It's really difficult to wrap my head around still. And we're like an hour and a half, 2 hours after the game?
Yeah.
It still doesn't make sense.
Well, I watched it with Mike Toomey, who was very, like,
Mike's
were five outs away. Huh?
I said Mike's the best.
Oh, he's amazing. But he was so filled with anxiety. But it was funny. It was perfect because, hello, I'm a little, a little high energy. And at five outs away, he goes, this is where we messed it up. Well, you know, back in 2003, this is where everything fell apart. And I was like, what are you doing? We're five outs away. Let's get into this. Or at least, let go a little bit. Believe a little bit. There were so many people still anxiety-ridden, weren't there?
There were, Patty. Unfortunately, I got to show some radio discipline and break here so we get our spots in before midnight, but we will be talking to you all week long as the Cubs are in the World Series. Thanks so much for checking. That's
Thank
right.
You guys.
Thanks, Patty.
Patty Vasquez here on 720 WGM. The Cubs did win today in convincing fashion against Clayton Kershaw, 5-0. Kyle Hendricks was just on. He was so good. He was so good tonight. And the Cubs are going to the World Series. I buried the lead. That's what's happening.
It's okay. You can bury the lead because it's still going to happen whether you bury it or not.
This is True Blue Playoff Plus. We're here for another hour with you. Adam Hoge, Andy Mazur, Mark Carman will be here shortly as well. This is sponsored by Wintrust, the home of Cubs Checking, and Sloan Water connects us. Let's quickly go out to the phone lines because I did want to hear some fans who weren't in the ballpark but around the ballpark to kind of get the feel for around Wrigley tonight. 312-981-7200, and Greg was out there. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how's you guys doing? Go Cubs. Yeah. We actually got down to Wrigleyville probably around 12:30, enjoyed the crowd, watched him grow, get bigger and bigger, and it was amazing. Probably about 4:30, we tried to get into a place to watch the game, stood there for 2 hours and finally gave up, and ended up going to a place on Shelfield called Cozy Noodles and sat there, had dinner, watched the game, and man, you know, watch the crowd, you know, go back and forth, you know, walking around, everybody checking the games as they, you know, went up and down, you know, Sheffield, and we hit that eighth inning, and the crowd basically turned and started headed towards the stadium, you know, to go celebrate. And, you know, once the Cubs pulled it off, it was just everybody celebrated and just good fun and cheering. And, you know, there was no, you know, anybody, you know, bumping into each other. Nobody was getting, you know, upset with everybody. It was just definitely a good time. And I think Chicago is ready for, you know, the World Series win here and, you know, to rock the city again.
No question, Greg. We appreciate the phone call and you checking in. And from all reports that we've heard, it's been a very lively but safe celebration over at Wrigley Field and good, because people have been waiting so long for this. That's exactly how it should be. Dave Plyer's here with us as well. You were at the game tonight with your son.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I'm going to tell you, this is the only game I've ever been to in my life that since the fourth inning, we stood for the entire game.
Hmm.
Everybody in the stadium.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. I mean, everybody was up and about the whole time. It was a lot of fun. It was crazy. It was actually a little crazier getting out of there. That was about, I know Carm said he was coming over here.
Good luck.
I saw him. I saw him on the field. It's going to take a little time, but.
So what was that like around the stadium? Because they blocked it off from people trying to get near it.
Yeah.
So I assume just so that the crowd could get out.
It was more around Sheffield and Addison that the crowd was gathering, and then of course down Sheffield and up the back end of the field. But right around the marquee and everything, it was all blocked off. But that crowd started forming, I'm going to say maybe the fifth or sixth inning, that crowd started forming down there. It was pretty wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
And here he is, the mayor himself, walking in.
Don't do that yet, man. There's four games left.
Hey, you. Hi. Wow.
Glad you made it. Glad you're alive. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a surreal moment right now.
What was it like? What was it like being there?
Honestly, like,
as it happened.
So it happens, right? And I'm videoing it, and then trying to get downstairs. They don't let you get downstairs. So I go back in the crowd and I start interviewing fans and whatnot. What does this mean to you? And I was getting choked up. I couldn't get the words out. It was unbelievable listening to these people talk. This is the best day of my life, from over and over and over, for my dad, for my grandfather, for my grandma, for my aunt. I mean, there was so much emotion in the crowd. And the Go Cubs Go, it was unbelievable. I mean, you just felt it through you, and it was exactly what you thought it would be. I mean, there were so many highlights out there. Kerry Wood sitting in the dugout, Eddie Vedder there. He was.
That's what it sounded like on TV.
I have so much stuff. I turn on my recorder. I have it. It was unbelievable. And these guys, Billy Williams, you know, Andy. I mean, just that whole era, and just seeing like Woody emotional, Ryan Dempster emotional.
Oh, we saw Ryan on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Alfonso Soriano.
He was more than emotional.
Yeah. I mean, I
it's Mark Carmen, by the way, who's been with us throughout the playoffs on True Blue Playoff Plus, and got to be out at the ballpark tonight.
Yeah, it was a privilege to be there tonight, no doubt.
Didn't it feel like a little surreal, though, even from the fans, that it was actually happening?
Yes and no, Dave. Like, you know, I put it out on Twitter and on our blog, our live blog. Like, I feel like I should start counting the outs, because it just felt like they were going to do it.
And what did I say to you?
You said stop.
Thank you.
But you were like the only one.
I know.
But you told me yesterday when we talked that 8-1, Cubs are going to win. And it wasn't 8-1, but it was pretty darn close. I mean, 5-0. It was the same thing, convincing fashion from the very start.
I mean, Fowler, call it whatever you want to call it, but great start to the game. Next thing you know, you're on the board. And then you're adding on, and then you're adding on, and then you're adding on. It was easy tonight. It really was. There was no moment in time that was stressful at all. I guess maybe when they took out Kyle Hendricks, but whatever. They were up 5-0. That didn't matter at all. They earned this. They were the better team. They've been the best team in baseball all year. And, you know, I've been saying for a while now, it just feels different, right? I didn't have any anxiety. That did not really exist at all for me. It just... I mean, it was ridiculous. They started off the game. They're already up 2-0. Then it's 3-0. Then it's 4-0. I love Wilson Contreras. Au contraire, you are so good. I am slightly, if we want to go Carmen concern, it did feel like a sort of a culmination celebration a little bit out there tonight. I think they'll be fine. I think, I mean, a million of them said, listen, four more.
Yeah, I didn't get that sense. Yeah. Just from hearing the guys
talk. It was different, though, but it should be different. This team and this franchise, this deserved to be more than just a pennant celebration.
Right. I mean, come on. And listen, you can have a great night tonight. And
that's why I said when we came on the air, Carm, I said, look, forget the World Series right now. I mean, just enjoy tonight. And don't worry about how much you celebrate. Just enjoy tonight. You can wake up tomorrow hungover and start worrying about the Indians.
Well, and listen, I went from the field to the clubhouse, back to the field, and, you know, they're firing beers around and champagne and whatnot, and who knows what the rest of the night holds.
There's some fireworks, too.
Yeah.
You saw a little bit of that.
Absolutely.
Were there fireworks during the game?
Yeah, I guess.
Chuck Peterson got a little freaked out.
It was behind, like, the firehouse. Like, it was, I'm sure it was a residence.
So is that what that, because I was watching on TV, and I couldn't, but I was in a place where I couldn't hear the sound, and he, like, pointed up in the air, and I was like, what was that about?
Yeah. I mean, it felt like something was wrong the first time I heard
it. Right, it sounded like gunshots.
Yeah,
it sounded like at first.
What was that? And then people started laughing, like, okay, fine, whatever that was.
That was during the game?
Yeah. I was underneath the overhang, and I just heard this, like, it sounded like, you know, gunshot bomb, whatever was going on. Like, what in the world? But then it was just, okay, we have fireworks behind the center field scoreboard, a la White Sox. So that's cool, fine, whatever. It does nothing. It all works tonight. What else is there to say? They're just they sell. Oh, here, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. I don't think they're all going crazy tonight. All their families are there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their wives are there. The kids are there. You know,
we saw Joe Maddon's wife on TV.
Yeah, I don't anticipate that the Cubs are going to be like staying out till 6 a.m. getting crushed and then, you know, dragging their way to Cleveland on Tuesday.
A lot of them were still on the field when you left, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, a bunch of them were there, and then they started to all go in the clubhouse. Joe Maddon was wearing his spandex. God bless him. It's just so the David Ross moment on the podium, where, I don't know if you guys saw that, probably not, you guys are doing the show. Anyway, Ross is on the podium, you know, in the middle of the diamond, and the crowd just goes crazy for him, and his whole face is up on the screen, and he's just got his arms out, and you see his eyes well up, and it's like, what a cool moment for a 39-year-old backup catcher, self-proclaimed. I mean, he's more than that, obviously, to this team, but just to be there and look out, and I, you know, I have a one-on-one with him, and it's just like, the people love that guy because he is Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. He's a hard worker. He's a competitor. He's a great teammate. He's a clutch player. I mean, that guy for being here for 2 years in his role. No one has ever resonated with a fan base like that in that little niche that I can think of. I mean, really.
After being at Game 1 and Game 2 and then being at the game today, did you feel like I did when I walked in the stadium that there was a confidence level of the fans that this was going to get done today?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. You had that on the air earlier today.
It was easy. Yeah.
I was listening to you leaving Ryan Field, and it was like, I don't know if Harry had as much confidence as you. Maybe we could check in with Harry if he's listening right now. Call in. But there, look, all right, let's take a break. We'll hear from...
I have a ton of sound. I'll see what we can ratchet up here. And tomorrow at 3 o'clock we're on. All that stuff's coming back. Some great stuff from the fans. Some great stuff from a ton of guys. Ross one-on-one. Woody running one-on-one. Soriano. I don't know how this audio sounds because it was kind of loud at different points in time, but we got some great stuff.
Okay, we'll try to squeeze all that in here in the next 40 minutes. Kevin Powell's out at the ballpark, too. We need to hear from him. He's on hold, so we'll hear from Kevin. We'll get you as much sound as we can, and maybe at some point we'll talk about the World Series, too, because that's a thing. But if not, you're right, Carver. We're here at 3 o'clock tomorrow, and Dave Plyer's here. He's here all night. So this is True Blue Playoff Plus on 720 WGN. True Blue Playoff Plus rolls on, and not just for the next 40 minutes, but also to the World Series, Mark Carmen.
So I sat with Chris Bryant one-on-one. Hopefully we can find it in the foray of sound that I just gave Craig Collins. He said over and over and over again, I am so spoiled, I am so spoiled, I am so spoiled, yep. I am so spoiled.
First 2 years.
Right? First year he goes to the CS and loses. Now he's in the World Series. But I'm like, dude, you're kind of not spoiled. You're kind of like a huge reason why the Cubs
right.
are in
he's
the
gonna
World
He's going to be
Series.
The MVP. He was the Rookie of the Year.
I mean, you're spoiled, I suppose, but you're like really good at baseball. Mm-hmm.
and he's been great.
The guy's unbelievable.
He's been great. All right, let's go back out to Wrigley. Kevin Powell is out there. Is it finally started to settle down a little bit, Kev?
It's settled down, but there's stragglers. Seen driving down Addison, a gentleman out the sunroof of a sedan with a bottle of champagne as he cheers, and crowds cheer him on, and he takes sips from the bottle. So they're still having plenty of fun here in Wrigley, but I think for the most part everybody's being relatively smart and safe considering the magnitude of this win.
Kevin, did you get the same sense that I got, that this team is, they're celebrating, and I guess my own little neuroses, I got a little bit worried that they were just kind of not thinking about what the future lies, but then quickly they're all saying four more, four more, four more.
Yeah, that's accurate for sure. I think Chris Bryant said it after the NLDS, and they said it again tonight, that there's still work to do. So, you know, we were talking to John Lester, for example, and he's amped up, he's fired up. And then they sort of come back down to earth immediately, you know, and they say, well, there's still work to do. You know, this team's remained laser focused in spring training. It's what they've talked about all year. So, yeah, I think they definitely had some fun. And Carmen, I'm sure Carmen's reeking up the studio with champagne. I know I reek of it right now. They were having a good time, but nobody's forgetting what the ultimate goal is here. I mean, as huge as this win is for this city, for the organization, there's still work to be done. But I also heard you guys talking about walking into the park. There was just sort of a sense that they could do it tonight, you know, even with Kershaw on the mound. And Dexter Fowler said that, too. He said, walking into the ballpark today, it just something felt right. Something felt good. So you saw that. And again, guys, I think after game five, I talked about how in that game it felt like everything they had done well all season was showcased within that game in one game. Does this game more than any just resemble exactly what we've seen all year? I mean, you get on the board early with Fowler. You go, we go again, as Joe Maddon has said a million times. He gets on the board. Your power bats come through, and then you lean on your starting pitcher. Kyle Hendricks was outstanding, and then you turn it over to the bullpen, and the bullpen, Chapman, closed things out. I mean, it was everything they've done well all season was what we saw here tonight on the field.
No question. It was kind of the perfect way to win, and it's what they did tonight against a really good pitcher. Hey, Kev, we've spent a lot of the last 2.5 hours kind of getting the scene and reaction and the celebration, but if we can get some baseball, too, here into the conversation. Carm just came in talking about how, and we saw it on TV, too. We were carrying some of it live. I mean, this was, you deserve to celebrate when you win the pennant, but this was taken to another level, and there's no criticism for that because this franchise deserves that. But let's be honest. There's a quick turnaround here. There's a road trip to Cleveland, and you have to play them now. What now is the most important game of your life in Game 1 of the World Series. So what's the plan here in terms of travel and kind of the turnaround here and just the vibe you get from how this team refocuses for what is now a huge World Series game?
Yeah, Game 1 Tuesday night. They'll have workouts Monday, so yeah, quick turnaround. It definitely obviously works the Indian advantages, having clinched well before the Cubs. But in terms of the baseball, I mean, it's a quick turnaround for sure. But this team's been resilient. They can handle it. I think that the baseball looks like a beach ball to them right now. This offense is dangerous no matter who the Indians have on the mound to. It'll be Kluber Tuesday night. I don't think that really scares you a whole bunch, but I think it'll be vital. Just like they did tonight, get out in front early because we know how good the Indians' bullpen is. So that's going to be huge, just like they did to Kershaw. So, you know, in terms of baseball, just go out there. And Carmen and I were talking about this in the game. Wilson Contreras needs to be in the lineup every day, just like Javi Baez worked his way into the lineup. I don't see why Wilson Contreras can't be at right field if he's not catching, if it's not Ross behind home plate, right field or left field or somewhere, because he's crushing the ball right now, and Joe Maddon needs to find a way to get him into the lineup. And although he's inexperienced, all the young guys, I mean, Joe, they talked about this tonight. How many young guys are on this team? And they continue to all step up. And look what Javi Baez did. Now Baez is a must play. There's no question. Obviously, he'll be in the starting lineup, but to me, get Wilson Contreras in the lineup and Jason Hayward, I don't know what you do with that, to be honest, because I don't think Joe Maddon said it in pregame. He said Almora and Wright doesn't sacrifice a whole lot defensively compared to Hayward. And to me, that was sort of a surprise considering how well Hayward's played and how much Joe Maddon's gone on to defend Hayward. And I don't think it was a shot or anything like that. It was just sort of a surprise and sort of maybe a realization for Maddon saying, yeah, you know, Hayward's almost an automatic out at the play right now. So whether it's Almora right or Contreras or Zobrist moves over there and you pop somebody in the left, I don't know what they do with Jason Hayward. I don't think they leave him off the World Series roster, but if they did, I don't think anybody would be too upset. At least his fan base wouldn't.
You don't play him. You just don't play him. You can't at this point. And the Wilson Contreras thing, you got the DH now. In the next two games.
Yeah.
So there's a way to get him in the lineup. That's real easy. Kev, thanks so much. We got to roll here. We got to hit a break and news and got a lot to squeeze in here. But thanks for your coverage tonight out at Wrigley.
All right, boys. I'll see you.
All right, Kevin Powell out at Wrigley Field.
Hey, when we come back after the news here, let's talk about how they're going to line up this rotation.
Let's debate it.
Most likely. Let's have that debate.
Yep.
And let's also debate the roster.
And we got to talk Kyle Schwarber.
Exactly.
We haven't even touched on Kyle Schwarber in the last 2.5 hours.
And hopefully we can get some sound in here. KB, Woody, I did an interview. I had Ricketts one-on-one. What a happy man that guy was. My God. Hey, can you step away from your family and talk to @TheCarm on Twitter? No problem. Anytime. I can see my family every day. Great.
Also, can I have a seat next to you for Game 3 of the World Series? That's Mark Carmen. Andy Mazur's here. Adam Hogue. We're here for another half hour for you on True Blue Playoff Plus 720 WGM.
Rocking the Kershaw. So good.
I wanted to sing that for like 3 days.
We rock the Kershaw. We rock the Kershaw.
I actually sang it to Mark Carmen on the phone yesterday.
Nice.
Which
nice.
Is really kind of sad and
I think it's great and beautiful.
But I knew it was going to happen.
You did.
We were going to rock the Kershaw.
We rock the Kershaw, rocking the Kershaw.
I saw a headline here that said the Cubs beat the Kershaw.
There was a foul ball down the left field line in the ninth inning, and
I heard it.
Yeah, and well, people laughed it off though, Andy. Like people were just like, ah, that's so.
Oh, I made a comment.
You did.
It went at least 5 rows in.
Yeah,
but I mean, I was like, ooh.
We were like, ah.
There was a picture too on Twitter tonight of the foul ball that went up in the air that Baez kind of cut in front of of Rizzo to make the catch.
How about the double play on the second pitch of the game? Go ahead. I'm sorry. That was amazing.
There was a picture of a guy standing up on the first base foul line with his arms stretched out like a safety patrol guy saying, back up, everybody. Back up. Don't get in the way. And it wasn't even close.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
We have learned some lessons. You guys want to hear Chris Bryant?
Yeah, do we have all that? We're ready to go?
I think we are ready with a KB. So Chris Bryant, how does it feel, Chris Bryant?
I don't know. I can't really put this into words yet, but
thank you.
This is the best feeling, you know, I've ever had in my baseball career. And, you know, there's only one that can top it, and hopefully we can do that.
Second year, that's it, and you're already here. That's unbelievable.
I know. I'm so spoiled. I mean, you know, to win 200 games over the past 2 years and play in the playoffs 2 years in a row, I'm so spoiled. This is unbelievable, and I'm certainly not taking anything for granted.
What's your favorite part about being a part of the group?
Just coming to the field every day. I mean, it's so much fun. These guys have so much fun. There's different personalities, 1 through 25, and, you know, it's certainly not a dull moment here.
You guys would never let on, but down 2-1, was there really just no shake of the team that you guys felt, hey, we're okay?
Yeah, I mean, we believe. I mean, you know, being down 2-1, you know, some guys weren't hitting and guys stepped up the rest of the way. And, you know, that's what this team's been doing. And, you know, hopefully we can continue that.
Two more, your favorite thing about playing for Joe Maddon?
You never know what to expect. I mean, he changes up a lot. A lot of fun theme trips, animals on the field. You never know, a pitcher playing left field. You never know what to expect.
And lastly, the Cleveland Indians. That's up next. Unbelievable, right?
Yeah, I mean, two franchises who really deserve it. And it should be, they're a great team. We've been watching them throughout the playoffs. They got some unbelievable players, so it should be a fun World Series.
KB, congrats. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Chris Bryant with Mark Carman.
At the Carm.
I mean, I just looked into his
eyes.
Did
you introduce yourself as At the Carm?
KB. You're my guy. KB, we're kind of on the same level, right? You're really, really, really cool, and I'm the dead opposite. Like, think about that guy's life. you are the starting superstar.
You can do some Express ads.
He's so cute with the Express.
Which Express? No.
Oh, man. But seriously, like, the fans... They love these guys, right?
Yeah.
They're so likable.
It's a very likable team.
I mean, from the veterans to the young guys to in between.
Really, the only guy you can complain about is John Lackey.
And he's adorable, too.
And even that, in this context, you put up with him.
He's not getting any haircuts, though.
He is not getting any haircuts. Hey,
actually, I kind of missed a big one. Aroldis Chapman. Sorry. Not a good guy. And that's something you gotta live with as you move on in the World Series. That's just the bottom line. Not a good guy.
Checkered pass for Aroldis.
Even the Cubs sold their soul to the devil when it came to the trade deadline. And that's how sports works. And you can question it, you can praise it, whatever. He's your guy now in the playoffs, but if we're gonna have that conversation about how great these people are on his team, and 95% of them are, it's a really fun team to root for because of that. But Aroldis Chapman, sorry.
You want to go 1 minute Miggy Montero with his grand slam? Which I asked him, how do you think about that, like, every minute? Because I would think about it every minute.
Let's hear from Miguel Montero.
Miggy, my man, Miggy Montero. All I want to know about is the grand slam. How often have you thought about that since the moment? I mean, don't lie to me. I feel like you got to at least think about it once a day.
You know what? I really thought about until the next day. It happened. But, after that, I mean, we got to move on. We got a ways to go, and we did a good job after that. I mean, you can't live on the past. You got to live in the present, and the past was done. So I was looking forward to somebody else picking me up.
You've been a huge leader for this team. How do you view what goes on between now and taking on Cleveland?
Well, you know, what do I see? I mean, like, I see the same thing. We're going to go out there and grind every day. Compete and give it a good show.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Give it a good show, baby.
Definitely give it a good show.
So, okay, let's go starting rotation here.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Arrieta was going to go in game 7. Does he go in game 1? John Lester's on regular rest to pitch game 1. Maybe I think Lester 1,
yeah,
Arrieta 2.
Lester 1, Arrieta 2, Hendricks opening up at home. That's how I would do it.
I mean,
yeah, so you're switching up a little there, but I think you... Man, the way Hendricks pitched tonight.
I mean, I don't think he can come back.
He can't come back for game
right,
one.
I'm just thinking, like, at Wrigley, I like that. I like that coming back game three.
I mean, you can't really go wrong if it's Arrieta-Lester. I'd like to see Lester go first to set the tone. Plus, you know, Lester has pitched in that ballpark probably more recently than anybody.
If you go, here, let's think about this. If you go 1-5, that means Arrieta would pitch one game at home. If you go 2-6, then both games would be on the road. I don't know how much that will be a consideration between the two. If you look at the splits there.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing they're going to be thinking about. Okay, so let's say Kyle Schwarber, what did he do today? Do you have any idea?
I think he was 0-2 the last time I looked.
Okay.
Let's talk about that, because the Cubs, did this catch you guys off guard? I mean, I've been sort of half joking about this all year, but I guess because there'd been so much silence about Kyle Schwarber, I didn't think it was really going to happen. But, you know, the timeline... We talked to Dr. Neil Gadadra, our go-to doc, back in April when this happened. He said, like, theoretically, the guy could be back.
I'd like to pull that interview because
October.
I think we got off the interview. I'm like, all right, he's back for the series. No problem.
But that's what started it. We were kind of, like, joking after that. Like, oh, if the Cubs make the World Series, he can come back. I mean, that's what it was. And I'm sorry, just the optics of this move. You do not pull this kid away from what happened tonight at Wrigley Field. This celebration, this kid's been around the whole year. He's been helping you. You pull him out of there. The only reason you're doing that is if you think he's going to be with you.
I mean, Madden said in the pregame that the doctors told them that he's clear to hit. This is real. I mean, this is...
Okay, so do you think he's DHing? I think he's going to... Because you're going to have Contreras probably DHing on nights he's not catching, right?
There's only a DH in the American League ballpark.
Right.
You can only have one.
But when that happens, you're taking away a pinch hitter. See, I look at this like Schwarber's going to pinch hit in select situations.
Here's the problem. The problem is not the fact that he's not healthy. He's healthy. Otherwise, he wouldn't be where he is right now. In the Arizona Fall League, where teams send their best prospects to kind of battle it out. Listen, you're putting a lot of pressure on a kid to go into the World Series not having seen live pitching since the beginning of April.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking about minor league prospect pitching.
Yeah.
We're talking about Corey Kluber pitching. We're talking about
Andrew Miller.
The rest of this group that's here. I mean,
right.
Hey, listen, I don't know if I would throw him in right away as a DH. That to me is sending the wrong message. To me, he's there. If he comes out of the fall league situation healthy enough, feeling good, making good contact, I don't mind having him on the roster as a pinch hitter, but I don't know if I make him the DH.
So that's I don't even know the schedule down there. I guess we can look it up. But assuming he can play tomorrow and Monday, I mean, that's three games. That's 12 at-bats.
Right, because you don't have to announce your roster until, I think it's 10 o'clock the day of, right? 10 o'clock in the morning the day of?
It's nothing. So... You know, how do you get ready to take on a starting staff and relief staff?
Yeah, that's very good.
That's, you know, top of baseball.
Right.
I don't know. It's a whole lot to put on. But he has been swinging in the cage.
No, I get that. But swinging in the cage and swinging on the field with the, you know, the bright lights of the World Series on you is even a lot for this kid. And we've seen this kid, you know, go through the playoffs last year with mammoth home runs and monster shots and obviously his coming out party basically coming up late, you know, midway through the season a year ago. But this is a whole different ball of wax.
So which team is he on again?
I think he's on the Solar
Sox.
Mesa Solar
right?
Sox, yeah.
Okay. So actually tomorrow's an off day for the whole league.
Right.
So there's no games tomorrow.
They play on Monday?
There's a game Monday.
So he's going to get one more game.
That's it.
Yep. And he can be in the cage against live pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Still not the same.
It's not the same. But again, I understand the move. I understand why. I mean, you're right. They made sure that this kid was doing his rehab with the club so that they made him feel part of it. So many times and so often when a guy goes on the disabled list and it's a long-term type of an injury, they go to Arizona to rehab and you forget about them. You don't feel like they're part of the club and they don't feel like they're part of the club. I'm so happy that they had him with the entire year, going through the pitching meetings, going through all the hitting meetings, going through all of that to replicate what would have been during a season. The only problem is he hasn't taken any live reps.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting.
Think the Tribune send somebody down to Arizona?
I'm willing to go. But
like if you think about how big this is right now, like someone's got to go get the Kyle Schwarber story.
I think they do.
And you have to.
Well, I was just stunned again in the pregame listening to Madden, mm-hmm. and he was asked about it by George Hoffman, and he just jumped right into it. Well, doctor said he's healthy, so he sent him out.
Yeah.
And I mean,
how do you think John Fox would answer that question?
We'll
kind of look at it. I'm not a doctor.
He said it. All right, we got to take a timeout, right? We got a break here. We got a couple phone calls. We'll try to sneak in. You got any other sound that?
Let's hear. Let's play. We'll pick Kerry Wood.
And I want to hear your audio from
Go Cubs Go.
This is just the Go Cubs Go for Brigley. It sounds pretty good, actually.
Kerry Wood, Tom Ricketts, Ryan Dempster, Alf Soriano's. I don't know. We'll pick something.
We need another 5 hours. 720 WGN.
This is when I lost it.
So that is actual audio from Wrigley Field that Mark Carmen recorded as the game ended.
I was videoing it. I handed my phone to a random fan. I'm like, can you just hold that up, please? And then I was holding my quarter, just trying to get everything for everything. That was...
Good job. That's great.
That was a moment, man. What a moment.
Real quick, let's sneak in our last caller of the night, David. He's calling from Cleveland.
He's
going
to try to bring us down, but that's okay. We won't let him.
Cleveland. Bring it on.
Come on, David.
Hey, congratulations.
My man.
Welcome to the show. It's going to be an evenly matched series, guys.
Yeah. You're not...
Yeah, Cubbies are going to face a better pitching staff and a better team overall than what you did with the Dodgers. We've got a pretty good team here. They swept Boston and took Toronto 4-1. So it's going to be good, and we're rolling out the red carpet for you. You guys come on down, have some fun. We're going to play some baseball.
Yeah, but it's a brutal city, right? There's, like, nothing to do. You've got this Hall of Fame that's way overrated, and it's just kind of nauseating to be there, isn't it?
No, it's come a long way. There's been a lot of renovation and new development downtown.
Yeah, but, like, you guys don't even go to the game. Like, it's like, half full all season long. And, I mean, we're the story here, right? You're poke, just kind of a side
poke,
thing.
Poke, poke.
Well, We'll see. The proving ground will be next Tuesday.
That's right, David. You tell him.
Let's just say something we can all agree on.
I'm kidding, David.
Carl is totally trolling right now.
David, let's say something we can all agree on. You got the Browns. We got the Bears. Thank goodness for baseball.
Hey, do you remember 1989, right around May?
There
was this guy that wore number 23, and he was hanging in the air, and bang!
Well, you know what? Our river doesn't catch on fire anymore.
There we go. Let's get some hate going on.
There we go. Hey, all right. Thanks for calling in, David.
Glad to be with you, David. Thanks for being a good sport. Oh, man. Yeah. We got to dust off Mike for this, right? I mean, shot him out in 89, shot him again in 93.
And 03, too, I think.
Yeah. That's true, too.
Yeah.
Those are some tough daggers to throw there.
You know, Woody was a Cleveland Indian for a minute.
Should we hear from Kerry Wood?
We can get some. Let's get some little Woody in here.
We can get Kerry Wood here for you, who you talked to. Mark Carmen talked to Kerry Wood after the game at Wrigley Field.
It's going to be a little noisy.
Kerry Wood, you are feeling the love tonight. What's it like for you to see this happen?
It's just unbelievable. I mean, just glad to be here with the guys and enjoying it. And just from clubhouse guys to ushers to just all the people that have been here in the stadium waiting for the last 30 plus, obviously, years. But it's been a lot more than that. But these guys have been here for a long time. And just so cool to be here and enjoying the moment with these guys.
Coolest thing I think I've seen tonight is that you're wearing the Ron Santo jersey.
Listen, Ronnie never saw this game. He never saw us win this game. So he's going to be with me from here on out. Yeah,
is that when you look back on it, it's like, man,
the biggest thing is like the people that didn't get to experience what you're experiencing right now.
That's what it is, right? I mean, it's obviously this is great for the town, great for the city, but I would have to imagine that tomorrow cemeteries are going to be filled with people dropping flowers off for relatives that didn't get to see us do it, get to this point. So just a great day for Chicago, a great day for the obviously the organization, but it just affects more people than you think.
So when you're watching tonight and it's about to happen, what was going on in the mind and the body, the heart?
Listen, I felt it in the second inning. We got off to a good start. Dex led off with a double, and obviously I saw Kershaw didn't have his breaking ball, and it felt good from inning one. So these guys did what they were supposed to do. They were sitting on fastballs and not missing them, and obviously Kyle went out and just did what he's been doing all year. But for him to do that in this kind of a stage is it's special for this organization. It's something that this team hasn't seen in a long time.